How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Tour Life. Today's podcast, we have two sponsors for today's podcast. The first one is Aura, and we'll send that over to Silas now.
Tired of constantly receiving spam phone calls to the point where you don't even bother answering your phone anymore? I know I have this issue. My phone is constantly blowing up. It'll say unknown number. Who is that? I don't know. You keep blocking them. It doesn't matter. They always pop up. Well, data brokers are actually making a fortune selling your information to robocallers, spammers, and others who want to learn more about you, like where you live. Well, today's sponsor, Aura, can identify brokers exposing your info and submit opt-out requests on your behalf. Brokers are legally required to remove your info if you ask them to, but they make it super hard to do. Let Aura handle it for you. Aura also does so much more to protect you and your family from online threats that you can't see. It's really easy to set up, so you don't have to download several different apps to get things like parental controls, antivirus, VPN, password management, identity theft insurance, and more. You get everything at one affordable price. Let Aura do the hard work of keeping you safe online so you can focus on other tasks with peace of mind. You can either let people continue to exploit and profit off your private information, or you can go to aura.com/foundationdiscgolf to start your 2-week trial, also linked down in the description. Thanks again to Aura for sponsoring this video. Let's hop back into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Valentine's Day is knocking and Manscaped is the remedy for what the love doctor ordered. His prescription, the all-new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, designed to elevate your grooming game and shine like the heartthrob you are. Join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com to snag 20% off plus free shipping with the code BANTER. It also comes with their brightest LED spotlight, perfect for the precise grooming, even in the trickiest spots. It's a waterproof too, making shower shaves a breeze. And for the beard kings, Manscaped brings you your Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Designed to shape your scruff effortlessly, it sculpts cheek lines and maintains beard styles, giving you that suave look for your romantic moments. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BANTER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code BANTER because your grooming upgrade awaits, ready to charm your Valentine's dates. Speaking of romance and love in the air, Yuli, you got some news, brother. Tell the people.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a little secret, you know, for some time now, but Sarah and I are expecting. So we're super excited. Yeah, I'm going to be a pops, man. It's kind of a crazy situation.
That is wild, man. That is wild. Yeah. Congratulations. How did you guys find out and stuff? How did that whole process work?
Well, it was like a dual thing. I was on my way home. We had a conversation and I'm like, I'm pretty sure we're pregnant. And so I grabbed a test on the way home and we did it, and right there it was just like instant, bam. We didn't have to wait nothing, and I mean, it was awesome. Honestly, kind of blew my mind, but yeah, it happened super quick, so I'm very, very thankful for that. And everything's looking good. She's healthy, everything's on pace for hopefully very successful birth.
Now, was there any thought about like waiting to see what the gender was going to be or anything like that? Or did you guys want to know right away?
She wants to know. I don't really mind waiting. So I think we're going to wait like maybe a month or two and then find out for sure. We might do a little gender reveal or something.
I was going to say, are you going to do some sort of disc golf gender reveal, or what is there? You got anything in the works?
I'm hands off with that stuff. Whatever Sarah comes up with, I'll definitely do. She's brought some ideas. She was like, no, maybe you should hit a golf ball or you should throw a disc or whatever. And I'm like, whatever you want to do, sweetie. So
yeah, you want to get real crazy. You can throw a disc up in the air that's like breakable into dust of the color and hit it out of the air with a golf ball. Now, super risk, right? Because if you miss, then it's just a complete... it just falls on the ground. But if you hit it, that is an electric video.
That would be so sick. I don't think I could trust myself with either of those things.
There was a gender reveal with an ex basketball player, I think ex NBA basketball player, if I remember correctly, and they missed the shot, and it just like the ball just blew up on the ground, and that's how it was. Or there might have been. Wait, was no? I'm not thinking about. I'm completely making up a story. I think it was baseball. I think there was a baseball player, and he whiffed the ball. He was supposed to hit
it
out of the air.
Exploded.
Yeah, and it just dropped on the ground and hit and exploded.
It's so funny because you know how Instagram listens to you and stuff, and so now all my stuff is gender reveal and baby this, baby that.
Wow, crazy! Oh, David Ortiz, thank you, Bobby. Bobby in the chat, David Ortiz. Whiffing a swing and it just dropping and exploding at the bottom. So.
That's something I would do for sure. So maybe we'll just do like a clap. I'm just like a classic
popper.
Guy.
Yeah, just like a little popper thing and just
yeah.
You can't mess that up. So.
Exactly.
Well, I know everyone over here, all of our Tour Life crew, all of our watchers, we congratulate both you and Sarah. That's very awesome. And
we wish you all
the best with that. It's going to be fun, man. This upcoming year is going to be awesome. Just kind of hearing all the stories of what it's like all the stuff you're going through. Mm-hmm. We might have to be a little bit flexible maybe with Tour Life and like when we film and everything. So yeah. everyone be okay with that, because obviously when you are right in it, right at the beginning, I'm sure it's crazy. So
I'm in for a treat. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Elephant in the room.
Oh no.
I made a tweet saying if this tweet gets over 1,000 likes, I will wear the Connor Horse shirt on the podcast on Tour Life this week. And it did. It did get over 1,000 likes. So I am repping the Connor Horse. Shout out to Connor. He still has not aced Peaks View Hole 3. But I do have the Yuli horse underneath.
Oh, perfect. So,
top seller. Shout out to everyone that's gone out and bought some Tour Life.
How are
merch.
The orders? Are we still
We're
going to
get the updates at the end. Silas is crunching the numbers. We'll do
What's your gut instinct?
I don't know. I feel like the Tour Life crew went ham this past week. So I think a lot of Tour Life crew started picking it up. We got some new stuff in there too. The performance tees I think are really cool, because obviously these shirts are nice to just wear around, but the performance tees are the ones that you can actually play disc golf with. And we got a 10 months from Ronnie. Congrats to Yuli on the pregnancy. You'll make a great dad, Yuli. So shout out to our Tour Life crew captain, Ronnie, for 10 months. Let's freaking go. All right, let's do a little quick little recap. Obviously, that was the big announcement for Tour Life. I'm up here right now in Lynchburg. As you can see, I'm on the set of what show? I guess this would be off-season debate night. Yeah, I'm on the set for that. In the bag, yep. And why am I up here? Well, we are filming the Foundation All-Star event. So if you guys watched last year, we get all of the employees, which I think we have, 13. I think we're going to have like 13 people this year competing in this All-Star event. So we're doing that all. So be on the lookout on Foundation's YouTube. That will be coming out. It'll be really, really fun. We got hacked. I don't know if you saw that, Yuli. We got hacked. I don't know if Silas, if you want to make a statement, do you have anything to say?
I don't have anything to say, man.
Okay. So
no comment.
So I'll let the people know kind of what happened. This is not they guessed our password. This is not we don't have two steps of verification on. What this is they're able to get into your computer to where they now can operate your computer from their computer. So if you're signed in to your YouTube channel, for example, if you're signed into it, they can basically go on their computer and do whatever they want on your YouTube that you have access to. Now, we're smart and we have managers. So our managers, they really can't do too much. All they can really do is like private videos. So what they basically do, and if you went to our YouTube channel on Foundations this past week, and if you went to Robbie's, basically what they do is they try to private all your videos. They change your name on the YouTube channel. They change the image of your YouTube channel. So that way, all the people that are subscribed, they're like, I don't know what this channel is. And then if you go to it, there's nothing on there. And then they slowly try to throw in a bunch of playlists from all these crypto things. And they have like a live stream. It's not really actually live, but they upload it like a live stream. And last time we got hacked twice. Last time it was, I think, who was it? It was the Tesla guy, Elon Musk, selling something. This time it was going to be some crypto person trying to get people to buy crypto. We luckily got into it before they went live and we shut it all down. Everything's back up and running. Thankfully, we still don't really quite know what the situation is. Yes, everyone's saying the flash drive to the flash drive. luckily, Tor Life wasn't touched, but there is a... There's like a 90% chance Silas just lost his email and it's just gone.
It's gone. My whole YouTube channel, my whole 700 subscribers, all of you guys, they're gone.
So we will, once Silas kind of gets his bearings and creates a new YouTube account, we will shout it out on here so all you guys can go over and subscribe to that. But yeah, that is it. So that's the update on the hackage. And I mentioned it earlier, Connor, we went and did a live stream. Yuli, this was actually a sick idea. We had $100 bills. He had 100 minutes to make an ace. As soon as he made an ace, he got whatever money was left. And each minute that went by, $1 was taken away. So after 10 minutes, he had a chance to win $90, right? After 50 minutes, he had a chance to win $50. And people were donating money during the live stream to put money back in, give him more time. And
that's amazing.
And so I think it was like a total of an hour and 20 minutes of him trying to ace this one hole out here. So whenever you come up here, whenever you do, you need to go out there to see how long it took you to ace, because we did a live stream where it was me, Connor, or me, Hunter, and Trevor, and we weren't allowed to leave until all three of us aced. I aced it on like my 17th or 13th throw. Hunter and Trevor aced within the next like 30 minutes or so. So we got out of there quick. He has now spent over 10 hours trying to ace this hole.
No, he hasn't.
Yes. Yes. He has now put in over 10 hours of time. It's 180 feet, nothing in the way, a little downhill. And one of the last throws he had, he actually threw one of my get freakies. It slammed into the chains, dead center, and it just whoop, whoop, out. And I was like, I don't think you're going to ever ace this hole, man. I don't think you're ever going to do it. So thanks to everyone that joined the live stream there. That was a lot of fun. Good times over there. All right. Saz, pull up our Instagram and get that ready to go. We're going to talk about Kristen Tatar, and then we'll go over to some Instagram comments here in a second. So news, Kristen Tatar, she is doing a great job. And I don't know if it's her or her publicist or her team. I know she's added on some people this offseason, but she's been doing a great job of like keeping headlines this offseason.
Yeah.
Without moving manufacturers or anything. You know, last week it was the gambling company, PFA or PU something. Can't remember. Sorry. This week it's Porsche. So it's Porsche Estonia. Kristen Tatar signs cooperation agreement with Porsche Estonia. She will receive a Porsche Macan. Is that, I'm not with the fancy cars. How do you pronounce that? Anyone know? Macan, Macan.
Not even gonna try.
Macan or Macan? That's fine. I'm gonna get roasted in the comments. That's fine. I don't know luxury. I'm sorry. And the photos of this are actually incredible. So if Silas can throw these photos up so everyone that's watching can see this. She's got some pretty cool disc, it looks like. Some commemorative disc?
commemorative
yeah, disc?
There you go, yeah.
And the photos of this are crazy. So it looks like she has Porsche Drive Kristen Tatar. And so I think the Drive is some sort of new thing that Porsche is pushing with their new cars. And then she has one of the best signatures. That signature is freaking nasty on the car. And so I think It was hard to kind of get more information on this. I know we're going to probably try to get Kristen on at some point because her interview last time was awesome. So this will definitely be something that we can definitely bring up when she comes back on the show. The sense of what I got is we'll give you this car to drive around for the year and we'll work together. I don't know if there's money being exchanged. I'm not entirely sure, but that's all I know. So we'll talk to her and just kind of see. But this is huge, Yuli. Porsche, a luxury vehicle now dipping their toes into disc golf. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that's amazing. I feel like that's like a European thing is getting cars involved. Didn't they have Ford as one of the sponsors for a few
European
players?
Open for, or they were the sponsor for the President's Cup last year, right? So they've definitely been in there.
But like you said, luxury car. I mean, Porsche is a nice brand. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. Kudos to her for, like you said, just keep.
Porsche. People want us to pronounce it properly. Sorry, Porsche.
Porsche. Yeah.
Sorry,
Porsche. But she
feels like
keep...
people say Porsche.
Yeah, but for sure.
the actual pronunciation is Porsche.
Okay. Isn't there a song? Hey, little Porsche, I wanna. Yeah, I think so. Okay,
it's possible. But she's been doing a great job of just keeping Porsche. Kind of pushing forward with all of these sponsorships and stuff. I think it's huge, honestly, because for one, for the FPO division to see somebody who's able to bring in those nice big companies, kind of gives life to their division, and hopefully the rest of the field can kind of see that there's some great marketing schemes out there for them. And maybe that'll help boost them up. Maybe we'll see some other nice sponsorships coming for some more FPO players. But I mean, Kristen, I don't think there's a better sponsor for her. She's freaking luxury. You know what I mean? Like, she is clean all the way through and through. One of my favorite players. So congratulations to her on.
I'm going to make the analogy. Awesome, I'm going to make the analogy to Ronda Rousey here, of where. I'm going to disagree a little bit in the short term of where I don't think what she's doing right now is actually going to change anything with the other FPO players. I think she's head and shoulders above everyone else. And so she is going to, like, she is the top dog. And so companies can look at, okay, we can get massive value from working with her. Now, what that could do down the road is elevate everyone else to where down the road now more people are paying attention to FPO, more money's in FPO, and then that comes. But I don't think this signing or the gambling site, I don't think any of those are all of a sudden now going to open the floodgates to where now these other companies, no. She's the most marketable person right now in FPO. And also I would say probably one of the top five in disc golf. Like, she is massive. And so to me, this feels like more of a Ronda Rousey situation of where she's going to get everything. She's going to get all the attention. She's going to get all the money, and she deserves it. And then down the road, that she'll leave a massive wake for everyone else to kind of work their way out of, if that makes sense.
Right. No, pretty much to my point, I guess, is that if I was in that division, I would look and see what the opportunity is there for me as well and get my button gear, to work. Because whenever you have somebody pushing the bar like that, it can only help you if you have that sort of motivation. And I guess that's just the way that my brain works is I see those nice things, you know what I mean? I want those things. I want, you know, that type of recognition. And so I work harder, and I hope that's what will happen, I guess, with the other women in the field.
Easier said than done, but if you want to put your time stamp on, or put your name, a name stamp on the FPO division right now, if you go out and you consistently beat Kristen or you beat her a couple times, you are going to blow up. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. So it's a perfect, like you're saying, a perfect opportunity for everyone else in FPO to be like, hey, if I can put in the work and I can go out and maybe challenge her, beat her or whatever, because she doesn't have a rival. there isn't someone.
No, not
like
right
her
now.
Rival is like, hopefully someone in the field plays good that week, and hopefully she plays bad to where it, there's a chance that she loses.
Hey, and you never know what happens in the off season. People put in work. People unlock codes in their own game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People are going to be coming after her. So I'm excited. I mean, the season's coming up so fast, man. I'm so excited to see what happens in just disc golf in general because of where the sport's at and the opportunities that are out there. I mean, every off season is an opportunity for somebody to level up.
Yeah, and I would even say too, I think players are now starting to kind of see the landscape a little bit of where all the manufacturers are at and are realizing, oh, there are not like infinite spots out there. Like there are a number of spots available, and if you're not in one of those slots, you gotta go out and do something to get yourself in the slot. So it will be very, very interesting. All right, Sias, do you have the Instagram set up? All right, so if you guys don't follow our Instagram account, definitely go over to Instagram, check it out. Tour Life, I believe, Tour Life underscore podcast. Is that what it is, Silas? Tour Life underscore podcast. Let me see if I can make this big so I can actually read these things. So we take clips. Shout out to our social media guy, Grant. Social Grant Clips, I think is what we're calling him. Grant, that sounds like a good name. Shout out to Grant Clips. He's the one that clips all these things out. Also, Silas kind of pulls the clips out, and then he edits them. And we had some interesting comments on some of these, Yuli. So I wanted to kind of bring some of these up. So the first one we're going to go through is the clip of you talking about how disc golf is a little bit of like gambling. And we're going to read through some of these comments. So the first one says, this is from Coach. You guys are paying $200 to buy into a four-day tournament, most of which is probably covered by your sponsors. This isn't even close to poker / gambling. And then you responded with the, it's literally gambling. Just Googled gambling, says to play a game for a chance to win money. Yeah. And that's basically what we're doing. And I can see why some people don't like the word. I mean, I was going back and forth with one person that was making the claim that gambling and betting are different, that those two things aren't the same. And that, I mean, that actually blew Kelsey's mind. She was like, I gotta walk out of this. I can't read these responses anymore.
I was honestly reading some of these comments and just kind of cracking up, man.
I mean, it was so, okay, imagine, because I mean, you're a married man. So let's just walk through this real quick. Imagine we have a gambling problem, okay? And our wives are helping us and being like, honey, listen, we gotta stop gambling. It's not good, whatever. And, you know, you start, couple days later go by, you're like, I'm not going to gamble anymore. Couple days go by, it's Sunday, it's football, you're watching it, you're screaming, you're getting jacked up, and she's coming in, she's like, are you gambling on this game? And you're like, no, honey, no, stop. I told you I'm not going to, I placed a bet. I placed a bet on this game. I'm not gambling. I placed a bet. You would get thrown out of the house so fast. Gambling and betting are the same exact thing. And if you want to argue against that, well, I don't know how to argue against that. It's literally the same thing.
The one argument that I saw the most was no, because you have control over the outcome. So here's the thing. If I am playing, let's say, an 800 rated player and they want to bet me $5 straight up,
mm-hmm.
I could break my leg and not finish the round and I lose. That is a possibility. It's not likely. But there's a possibility that I don't finish, and what would happen? I would lose $5. It's a gamble. There's better odds for me.
Let's throw this scenario out. You just graduate. Oh, you don't graduate college. Okay, you're in college. You don't graduate college. You use all your money you have to buy a vehicle, and you go and you say, you know what? I'm going to try to be a professional disc golfer, and you travel the United States. Going all over, spending all your money week to week, literally needing to cash at every tournament to survive, to go to the next tournament. Does that not sound like a gamble? A bit of a gamble?
Yeah, you're betting on yourself.
At the end of the day, life is, we make gambles all the time. We make bets 100%. All the time. Like every single day there is a gamble to everything. So I get the pushback a little bit, but let's be real. We are kind of in a way gambling a little bit. And the way
it's
for
not
that
kind of in a way we're gambling a lot of it.
We are. And it's going to get more and more removed once mm-hmm. our money isn't necessarily in the pocket, right? Once there aren't entry fees that are accounting for more than 50% of what we're playing for. If there was no entry fees and there was all these sponsors playing and we just show up and we try to play but even then there's a little bit of gamble because you're paying for flights, you're paying for hotels, you're paying for all these things in the hopes of potentially making money at this tournament or potentially playing well enough at this tournament to where maybe you get sponsored or whatnot, right? Go ahead. Yeah. Pull up those comments again, Silas.
Last point too is somebody was like, well, you don't even pay your entry. Your sponsor does. Well, that's part of my contract that I get. It's mm-hmm. my money. It's my money that they are putting in there. It's not their money. It's mine. It's in my contract to where I get the $7,000 or $8,000 per year for me to play in tournaments. Once they sign that contract, they're paying my entry fees. It's mine.
Also, there are other people in here, and this happens a lot, and I get it. We post a lot of things. And the next one we're going to go to here in a second, this is 100% what happened. But the majority of the time that we're talking on here, the podcast is called Tour Life for a reason. We're talking about stuff that is kind of relevant to me and you on tour. And a lot of times we talk about stuff that's on tour. So I understand and I get some people that are like, well, when I play in tournaments, like I'm just playing for the experience, so I don't consider it gambling. I get that because when I show up to blackjack and sit down to, you know, I have $100 and I'm playing $5 blackjack, that's different than someone that's sitting down and being like, I need to win. I need to make money off of this. When I sit down, I'm like, that $100 is gone. It might as well be like a nice steak dinner. It might as well be going to the movies. It might as well be going to like an amusement park. I'm spending that $100 on the entertainment of playing blackjack. I'm not trying to make money. And I get that from a lot of people. You show up to play a tournament and you're entering because you want to test yourself. And that is fun to you. And that's entertainment. A lot of people on tour, that's not what it is. This is their job. If they continue to go out and not perform, they're going to have to find something else to make the money. You can't just keep spending money and losing it and think that's going to be a career. It just won't work. So, life is a gamble. There you go. Munchy Lego. Life is a gamble. I think there's a song that's even written about that. I won't sing it. I'll save your guys' ears for that. All right, Silas, pull up the other one. There's one more. I think this is more for me. So this was the one where we're talking about. I was talking about where if I'm playing in a tournament, a professional tournament, and during the middle of the round, someone comes up to me and starts like asking me questions about like how the hole's played, where's the OB, what's going on, all that. That is an awkward situation. Right? Because you're trying to compete against each other. It can be an awkward situation. Some of these were interesting because, all right, here we go. We'll just read through them. So this one says, how is it awkward? I've been playing. I've had plenty of people on my cards play blind and I kindly just tell them where the basket is and how I normally play the shot. I'll even say what common lines are that people tape. I'm not sure who Chaser is. I don't recognize him, so I don't know if he's a touring player. Again, different situation. If I'm playing in a C tier, and Yuli, you even kind of mentioned, stop it right there, Yuli, Silas, because I want to talk about this one. When you kind of mentioned, like, you show up to tournaments sometimes, you've done this yourself at some of the lower level tournaments. I'm talking more on like the pro tour is where it gets awkward. If I'm at a B tier, C tier, A tier, and someone asks me, it's not that big of a deal. It gets awkward more on the pro scene when someone's doing it. And I guess some people don't agree, and one of those actually being Robert Burridge right here, who is a professional. He says, if someone is playing blind, usually it is because of circumstances they can't really control. I have never had any awkwardness with helping a player who is playing blind. It's always players who don't want to help their peer succeed that make it bad. It is as simple as, if it's as simple as distance, OB, and where the miss is, or if it's blind, how you attack it and let them do their own thing. And here, I'll be the first one. Robert, first off, appreciate you coming out there. I'll be the first one. I've played with you before, and you've asked me how far something is. Buy a rangefinder and figure it out yourself. Like, I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm honestly being, and I like Robert. I've really enjoyed playing with him. I played him with the USDGC where he was like playing lights out. He was like in the lead or whatever. But I'm just saying, there comes a point in time where we are competing against each other, right? There are reasons why Brooks Koepka got in trouble for throwing up the five to let, I can't remember who it was, let people know what shot he hit. Like, you can't do that in golf. You can't actively ask someone in golf, what club did you use? There's reason why those rules are in place. We don't have any rules like that in disc golf, but I could totally see that happening in the future. Of where Yuli, it's not fair. It is not fair for me to be able to go up to you after you throw a shot and ask you, what did you throw? That is not a fair situation for the entire field. I should not gain an advantage because you're my friend. Same thing, and this is a hot take, same thing as you should not gain an advantage if you're playing with your friends and you go, hey, I think my disc crossed in bounds, and it didn't. And you have people saying it did because you're friends with them, and they give you the benefit of the doubt because they're friends with them. That's not fair either. So this whole situation of like, and I was just going to let this pass, but it is an issue there. I've had multiple people come up to me and talk to me about how they don't like it. So there are people out on the course that aren't, and it is. And here's the thing. I normally help people out because it is awkward and I don't want to be a douchebag. And tell people like, no, figure it out yourself, man. But I don't want to help people either. I'm trying to beat you. I need all the help I can get.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it comes down to this. It's pretty simple. It's sports. There are different kinds of competitors in sports, period. There's always going to be nice competitors, and there's always going to be people who are quiet and keep to themselves. And there's always going to be douchebags, no matter which way you look at it, in whatever sport you play. If I'm playing on a course, I ask somebody and he says, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm a competitor. Yes. I'm fine with it. Okay. Not asking him. I'll ask this guy. If nobody tells me, then I get it. I'm not taking any ill will from that situation. You get what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I understand that it's sports. Now, if somebody is gracious enough to be like, yeah, it's like there's, which most people are. Hey, yeah. There's OB on the left. It's an island hole. You got to cross up on the right side. There's a blah, 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 blah. And they give you the breakdown. Most people are willing to do that, and it doesn't take them out of their comfort zone. And they can do that. And that is perfectly okay because by the rules, they are allowed to do that as of right now. Yep. But what it comes down to is it's preference. You don't want to do it, Brody. You don't have to.
Yep.
And there shouldn't be any sort of awkwardness any which and way that, about it. And if you I take agree with it, you. And if you take it as awkwardness, that's because you're soft. That's because you're soft. And that's it. You asked, you got the answer. And if you're going to be like, ooh, why didn't he tell me, like, what a douche move? No, you're soft. That means you don't play sports. That's the way that it is. Yeah, I like that stuff. When you're playing, let's say you're playing pickup basketball or even competitive basketball, there's trash talking going right all the time. And most of the time, at the end of the game, what do? You shake hands, hey, good game. Mm-hmm. And then you go on with your life, and there's respect there.
There was another comment in there saying, I don't know if you can pull that one up, Silas, real quick. There was one more comment I wanted to go over. You make good points there, Yuli, and I agree completely. There was one where someone claimed that I have done this before. Okay, yeah, Danny Beauchamp, which go up a little bit, which I, that name does sound familiar. I think I have. Have you played with him?
Yeah.
I definitely have played with him before. He says the guy who literally asked 1,000 questions, even if not playing blind. So I don't know what he's referring to. I would love to get a little bit more detail what that means. I'm sure he was coming after me in that comment. I'll be the first to say there are multiple times where I ask, like, what the heck is going on this hole? And the reason for it is because the caddy book doesn't always line up with what the PDGA rules say. And then we have people on the first tee, like, telling you, like, oh, today this is how these holes are playing. So, yes, it is really nice to sometimes just get a full confirmation of, like, this is how this hole's playing. I'm not asking someone how far a hole, far a shot is at a professional tournament. I'm just not. I'm going to have a rangefinder to do it myself, or I'm just not going to ask. And that's just me. But if you do ask, I don't have a problem with it either. Just don't get mad if the person says, no, I'm good. I'm not, like you said, I'm good, man. Figure it out.
Hey, sometimes you're in a spot to where you just went bogey, 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 and you don't want to answer any questions about anything.
Yeah.
So if somebody, imagine if I just went triple, double, single, and then somebody's like, hey, Yuli, do you know what this hole's all about? I'd be like, bro, scram. Like, I need to get back in my zone. I don't have time for this.
Get out of here, man. Okay. So yeah, that was fun. Always let's keep firing off the Instagram comments down the road. Always fun to go and read those. All right. Nicholas Antilla. Apologies. I totally butchered his name. I said it incorrectly last week. Antilla. I reached out to him because I wanted to know what the situation was with that announcement that he initially made, saying, like, basically, I'm not on Discmania anymore, and why he ended up signing. I was curious as to, did he plan on leaving and then Discmania offered him something that he was like, oh, I'm coming back? And this is what he told me, basically, that Eagle and Gannon, that he knew those announcements were happening, right? Because obviously Gannon was coming to Discmania, Eagle was leaving Discmania. So I'm sure he kind of had an idea of those things were going on. So they had basically, he said, two options. They could either say nothing at all, or they could do what they basically did. And so he did bring up saying, like, he never said that he was actually leaving, but he understands now, looking back, that it was easy to kind of misunderstand the situation. And he says if he could go back in time or in the future, he says he's not going to do that anymore. Because I think there were some people that were kind of confused by it. That was the plan all along. The plan all along was for him to re-sign 4 years. So he had no intentions of leaving. Just wanted to clear that up for him. Next announcement we have, Canute. Now, this guy... Oh gosh, what's going on? My internet okay?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. That's all we need, right? We had great, great shows, and all of a sudden I come to Foundation headquarters and my internet's all jacked up. All right, Canute. This is probably one of the funnier guys on tour. He is a character. I don't know him that well, but I've been around him enough to just know he's an absolute character. Did you see his announcement video, Yuli?
No.
Okay, Saz, can you pull this up? This is incredible. So it's very quick. It is also good audio. We can't hear the audio. Hopefully you guys can hear the audio. Oh, it's copyright audio. Okay, so go to his Instagram if you want to listen to it. But play it one more time, Saz, because it does go really quick. So play it one more time for everyone. So basically for our audio listeners, he took maybe like the top 5 or top 10 memes over the last, I don't know, a couple years, and essentially just created a bunch of memes that shows that he's leaving Discmania and is going to Innova. And that was basically his announcement, which
I like that a lot,
which I think is probably one of the most, if not the most unique ways to announce that you're now. Did he maybe burn a bridge with some of these memes? Like having, can you pull up the one where he's got he's got Discmania buried? Is it the burial one, or which one is that one? Or no, it's Innova buried. Wait, he's leaving Innova and going, sorry, I had that backwards. He's leaving Innova and going to Discmania. Apologies. So maybe he did burn. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe Innova will find this stuff funny. But I thought it was definitely one of the more unique ways of announcing that you are leaving a manufacturer and going to the other one. So yes, Canute is headed to Discmania to add to Nicholas Antilla, and then you've got the, I guess, four-headed dragon with Gannon Burr, Kyle Klein, Alden Harris, and Gavin Babcock. So they've got a force over there at Discmania right now. All right, did you hear about Jeremy Rusko and Emporia Country Club?
No.
So he plans to purchase Emporia Country Club, or excuse me, Emporia Community Club. So the course that we currently play for the Dynamic Disc Open, ECC, they were kind of struggling, and I think some investors came in to try to spruce it up and thinking that they could kind of turn it around. I believe that kind of failed. It looked like they weren't really making the money that they would think that they thought they were going to do. They even like kind of actually threw shots at the community and said like the community wasn't supporting them enough. So that was kind of going downhill. I don't know what the sale sold for, but we are going to have Jeremy Rusko on the show next week. He wasn't able to come on because he has like a town hall or something where he's going to be answering a lot of questions. So we will bring him on the show next week. So definitely come back next Tuesday. And we're going to ask a bunch of questions. And if you have any questions for him, definitely drop them in the comments down below. I'll read through them and pick some of the best ones out. But he plans on purchasing. This is separate, I believe, separate from Dynamic Disc. It seems like it's a purchase, like a personal purchase for him. So I'm very curious about a lot of things. What's his vision? What's the plan with the Dynamic Disc Open? Are House of Disc involved at all? Lots of going on. I mean, this is a massive purchase to buy an entire golf course, basically.
So. No, without a doubt, that's absolutely insane, but pretty cool at the same time. Could be, depending. We got to ask the questions. We got to ask the right questions.
I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about it a little bit here. There were some thoughts of maybe you just don't even do a golf course and you like put real estate on there. Is that even possible? Would the city even allow that? A lot of questions to be had. So we'll have him on the show next week. Excited for that. 2024 World Champ predictions. Super early here. Disc Golf Pro Tour put out a survey, a fan survey, and the results came back. And for those that don't know, we are playing the World Championships right here in Lynchburg, Virginia, just about 10 minutes, 15 minutes away from our studio. The World Championships will be going down this year. We will be playing two rounds at New London, three rounds at Ivy Hills. And obviously, on the FPO side, no surprise at all, you have Kristen Tatar taking an 83.8% of the vote. Missy Gannon, it's a little surprise maybe for some, but she has been sneaky solid all year. 3.1% for Missy Gannon. You have Paige Pierce at 2.5%. And then on the MPO side, you have Calvin Heinberg at the highest at 23.9%. Paul McBeth at 13.5%, which is no surprise. He literally created New London to potentially hold a world championship at one point. And then you have Simon Lizotte at 11.7%, which is not... You know, I'm thinking a lot of these fans are really smart because Simon Lizotte came out and played New London once. I don't know if it was on video. It might have been. And shredded. And that is very rare for people to come out to New London and play it blind and do really well. So maybe we got some good little insiders on the fan side of things. But any names not listed on there that you're surprised? Anyone high up there?
I mean, the defending world champion needs to be on that list for sure.
Mm-hmm. Isaac Robinson not being on there is a little surprising.
Isaac Robinson in a 5-round event is a scary guy.
I hate to tell you this.
He doesn't mess up. He doesn't like have bad rounds, it seems like.
New London is very similar to Champions Cup. It just has OB on the right-hand side. Super backhands. I throw... 3-4 hands off the tee, maybe 4 sometimes, all backhands. And who's a better wooded player right now than Isaac Robinson? There isn't one.
And then you got Gannon as well, who's pretty spicy.
Yeah.
So. It's a good player. There's a lot of good players out there, but I'd say the defending world champion is probably pretty close behind those guys, I would guess.
Yep, yep. A couple tournaments happened this past week. A couple tournaments. We had the Maricopa Open, which was an A-tier out in Arizona. Tristan Tanner takes it down, winning in a playoff over Andrew Marweed. Good to see Marweed back. He dropped out the week before with back problems. So good to see him back out there. Obviously, he was playing well since he lost in a playoff. You have AB finishing one shot out of the playoff. And then other notable names that were in the field were Aaron Gossage and Parker Welk. We also had the MX Disc Golf Championship, which was, I believe, in Mexico. And you have Nicholas Culver beating Kevin Jones in a playoff at that event. And then the Southeast Asia Disc Golf Championships also took place this past weekend with Manabu Kajiyama taking that one down.
Also, yeah. Corey Ellis took one down. Where were they? New Zealand?
Oh, was that New Zealand one?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Shout out to Corey Ellis. I did not see that, but shout out to Corey Ellis. Disc Golf Law put up some tournament purses numbers comparing last year to this year, and I found some of these to be fascinating. So if we're looking at these numbers, I'll read off the 2022, and then I'll read off 2023. So first, 2022 for the PCS Open, which was a Disc Golf Pro Tour Elite Tournament, you had 48,975. And it increased to 62,671. Then you had the European Open Major going from 100,000 to 101,000. Then you had Ledgestone going from 125,000 to just under 140,000. Idlewild going from 86 to 93,000. Deglo going from 86 to 100,000. And then the World Championship going from 100,000 to 200,000. So what this tells me, looking at these, good growth across the board at a lot of these tournaments, but the emphasis right now is really growing the World Championship purse, and I love that. I love that. I think that's what should happen. I think they should put more emphasis on it.
I think they should put more emphasis on the majors, period. So one of the ones was the European Open going up 1,000. That needs to go up.
Yeah, that's a little surprising to me. That one didn't jump up. I mean, you had, Deglo, for example, is a big, it was one of the playoff events. That went up almost $14,000.
Yeah, I'd like to see all the majors kind of go up. I think those should be our premier events. They should be the biggest ones, and they should all be pretty similar. Obviously, the World Championship should always be more right now because of where it's at in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But for the majors in general, there shouldn't, in my opinion, there shouldn't be very many tournaments that give you more money than majors.
I would almost argue there shouldn't be any.
Well, you see the PDG or the PGA championships is always the biggest purse.
They want the players.
The players, that's what it is.
Yeah, the players. But that's the PGA Tour wanting that to be a major. And so that's their best way of doing it is trying to give a crap ton of money away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think the majors definitely need to be bumped up. The European Open for sure. I think, looking at this list, I would love to kind of see the European Open maybe be $25,000 more than everything else, but no surprise too with Ledgestone Open with all the fundraising and everything they do over there, also coming in at 140,000, just 60,000 shy of the World Championship. So some good stuff there. All right, let's talk some losers and winners of the offseason. So on Grip Lock this week, Hunter and Trevor discussed their winners and losers in terms of manufacturers, new signings, letting people go. And I kind of want to get your opinion on what you think, if you agree or disagree. So we have Trevor Staub, first one, Discraft winner. Picking up Chris Clemens was the biggest pickup on the MPO side. They pretty much kept everyone on that was on, you know, the elite team, I'm pretty sure everyone stayed. And then on the FPO side, they locked up Holland Hanley for a couple more years. I think Paige, did they make an announcement about that? For some reason, I want to say Paige got an extension. Goose got an extension, I believe. So winners, I think that's kind of a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Best team on the planet.
Definitely a good offseason. We are not biased at all. Dynamic Disc, loser. Now, trying to think, Dynamic Disc, who did they lose? I don't think they lost Clemens. I don't know if they picked up anyone.
They lost Macy.
And some bad press, right? Like, that wasn't a great story for them. So, that was, that makes sense. Innova is a winner. Innova picks up Emerson Keith. They still have Calvin. They still have the European women.
They lost Canute.
They did lose Canute. I believe they might have made this list before they saw the Canute post. The Canute post might have crushed Innova and actually knocked them down to a loser. We'll have to ask them what their thoughts on that. Hunter, I believe, said Dismania was a loser, but Trevor thought Dismania was a winner. Interesting.
I would say winner. They lose Eagle.
Okay.
But they gain three other players and they make a contract extension with Nicholas. So I'm pretty sure that's a big win.
I think
Nicholas, sorry to interrupt you, is the most underrated like extension of the year.
He's very quiet. I don't
he's so good. And for how big Europe is, like, to have him on your team is essential for European disc golf, I think.
He seems like one of those guys that just needs like a little bit of a breakthrough, and then he'll kind of just almost spiral out of control from there, I think. Because
but that's what I'm saying. Everybody says that. They're like, oh, we're waiting for Nicholas to get the big win. The dude's a European champion. He's a two-time finished champion.
But people want to see it. People want to see it on tour. I mean,
they want to see it on tour. Good. Great. Do you know what a European championship is? It's freaking huge.
No, I know. No, I know. He's so quiet himself where, you know, there's a lot of people on tour that kind of can help build up their name. And then other people love talking about them. He's just a nice, quiet, reserved guy.
Yeah.
And so he's one of those people that when he plays well, people will be like, oh, that's really nice. But yeah, I agree. I think he probably is the most underrated player as far as skill goes. I mean, he's a top 10 player. He is. He's that good. He is that good. And he's super young too. So we'll see what the future looks like. Hunter also thought some of the other losers. He has Lone Star, probably, right? Like, not good stuff from the player side, and also just like some of their staff just leaving. So that seems pretty good.
They picked up a dog.
They picked up who? Crime Dog?
A dog. Oh, to their team.
They do have a dog.
That's solid.
Another loser on here is Prodigy. Hunter thinks Prodigy is a loser.
Yeah, who'd they pick up?
I mean, they lost Gannon. I mean, they re-signed Isaac, or they have Isaac and Ezra still, but they lost
they
Gannon.
Re-signed Ezra.
They re-signed Ezra for
1 year.
1 year to be the basically with his brother.
It's definitely a loser. Yeah, I mean,
they didn't bring anyone in. And they lost Gannon. Yeah, definitely a loser. Easy one there. West Side winner, I agree. You had that big splash with Matty O. And then DGA winner, I think so too. They didn't add any names that are going to pop out at you and be like, holy cow. But if you know disc golf and you watch disc golf and you pay attention to the leaderboard, they've got a lot of solid people on that team.
Yeah, they do.
That is a solid team. And it's not just not just the top three, it goes down quite a way. So solid
team. You got Parker, you got Tristan, and then you got Evan Scott.
Sullivan. Yeah, Sullivan Scott. Tipton.
Sullivan.
Yeah.
But Evan Scott.
Evan Scott, too, very freaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lot of good players. So very interesting. So yeah, let us know who do you guys have as your winners this offseason? Who you guys have as your losers? Let us know. And I'm sure there will be no disagreements in the comment section on this one. Wild story of the week here. Wild story of the week. I think this is anonymous. I'm not sure. David, our intern, did not have a name on this. So I'm going to go ahead and say this is anonymous. So here we go. Tee of hole 13, glow golf, pitch black. I have the box. The throw is over a river. River in front of the tee box is the bank with long grass going down to the water. As I'm throwing, something stands up from about 6 feet in front of me, huffs, and takes a couple big steps towards me. At least it sure seemed like big steps. I scream like a little girl, turn, and flee for my life. My card hears a few creatures run and splash upstream. Upon seeing a little brown body, they start laughing their butts off about how scared I was of the local beavers. A few minutes later, we have all recovered enough to throw. We walk upstream where there is a bridge to cross the river. As we cross, someone looks down and notices something interesting. A wet and obliviously pissed off mama bear standing in front of her cubs and staring us down. Now when we play glow golf, I always make sure someone beats me on hole 12. Wow.
They thought it was a beaver, but it ended up being a bear.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and a pissed off mama bear, too. That's something that you don't mess with. Holy smokes.
That's an amazing story.
The craziest thing I've seen out in the wild was a moose, and it was so terrifying. I mean, it was maybe 200 feet away, so it wasn't very close. But I stopped in my tracks and immediately turned around and ran the opposite direction.
Dude, you know what? I have a crazy glow golf story.
What do you hit him with it?
All right. So in Arizona, there's this course called Papago Park. And it's an amazing glow golf course. So it's desert course, but it has a stream that runs through it. And there's like two or three splotches of islands where the stream goes and then goes around a big island. And in those big islands, there's huge like cattails and bamboo that shoots up. You know what I mean? So it makes this really cool like island green. Can't see anything. It's pitch black out there. It's really cool too because it's like on a kind of a slope down. And so you can see all of Scottsdale behind it all lit up, right? But I mean, this place is dark. So we're playing and it's a doubles deal. And I throw my disc to the other side of the creek. So it's out of bounds. And I noticed that a little kid is like hiding in the bushes. Oh, and I'm like, creepy. What the heck? Like, why is there a little kid out there? Well, me and my buddy at the time, his name's Rex Rogers. He plays there all the time. And I'm like, I got to go get my disc. I think this kid's going to steal it because he's like looking at it. And sure enough, he runs over there, grabs my disc, and he takes off running towards the fence. So there's this huge fence on the side of the park that has barbed wire, that circle barbed wire at top because there's this facility right by this course. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to catch this kid. He's not getting away with my disc. So I'm chasing this kid running through like through the bamboo and through the thing, jumping over the creek. And I'm like, dang, this little guy's fast. Like, what is this? We get to the barbed wire fence and this thing goes straight over the fence. Like nothing I've ever seen in my life, Brody. I stop in my tracks and I'm like, what the heck? And I book it the other direction because I'm like, okay, that's not right. I asked my buddy Rex, I'm like, dude, did you see that? He's like, yeah, what was that? I'm like, it wasn't a kid. To this day, I don't know what it was.
Oh, you still don't know?
No clue. Dude, it took my disc. It was running like a little kid and trounced up this like 8-foot fence over the barbed wire on the other side and took off into the facility. Now.
Like an elf?
Dude, I have no clue.
I'm trying to think of small things that are magical.
Dude, it was insane. So this facility is like has like all kinds of different science experiments and go and stuff that goes on in it. Like you're not allowed in and out of there, bro. I don't know what it was. I'll let the viewers decide what the heck it is.
Escape the sales.
It was terrifying. Every time I ever would go back and go to that like little island green, dude, it gives me the heebie-jeebies because of that.
I'm not a huge fan of like there's the darkness. There's so many things that aren't scary at all of a sudden become scary in the darkness. Not a fan. I'm not someone that sleeps with a nightlight, but you know, I try to
I didn't sleep for days. Dude, this is scary, man.
I wouldn't either.
I've never seen anything scale. First of all, I'm like, okay, this little guy's quick. You know what I mean? Like, all right. Like he's got some wheels on him, you know? But when he scaled that fence, I'm telling you, he scaled it like this. Boop. He was right over the top. And I'm like, yeah.
And then wasn't affected by the barbed wire. That would have freaked me out.
On the other side.
It's like, how did he just get through that without even worrying about the barbed wire? All right. Well, if you guys have crazy stories and you want us to read them right here live on Tour Life, send them in to our intern, David, at wildstorytour@gmail.com. That is wildstorytour@gmail.com. All right. I think it's safe to say this is potentially a fan favorite segment at this point in time. We're going to Edwin's stats. And I talked to Edwin. He wants to say thank you guys so much for the love that you guys showed on the last podcast. He doesn't, you know, he was basically telling me, like, I don't really go on social media that much and interact or whatnot. But he was reading through the comments last week, was responding to some of you guys, and definitely could feel the love. So thank you guys so much for sending that out to Edwin. And if you do love Edwin's stats, by all means, keep letting him know that you love it. And hopefully we just keep getting good and good ones. So this one, because of last week and how people really enjoyed that, what he did is he actually broke down new manufacturer player analysis from 2019 to 2023. So he went back 4 years. 5 years, right? Yeah, 5 years. 2020, 2021, 2022. Yeah, 5 years. Sorry. He went back 5 years all the way to 2019 when Paul Macbeth went from Innova to Discraft. And you can see on the left. Also, by the way, I got to address this comment. Someone was like, hey, Brody, we can read. You don't need to talk. This is a podcast. Not everyone's watching. So that's why I'm reading this image. So shout out to that guy that doesn't realize that we're doing a podcast here, Yuli, and we have tens of thousands of people that listen and don't watch. So, hey, we love all our listeners. We love all our listeners. So, all right. So let's break this down. I believe there's 29 or so players ranging from Paul Macbeth going to Discraft. We have James Conrad going to MVP, Ezra going to Discraft. We have Nico going to Lone Star. We've got Cole going to DGA. We've got AB going to Discraft. Thomas Gilbert. We got all these people. So 29 people here. And we're going to talk about the good so far. We're going to start with the good. Let's start with the good. So 45% of players that switch manufacturers from one to the next increase their birdie rate with the new manufacturer. So putting is better with new sponsors. The biggest improvement in that from Circle One X was Cole Radalin. He went up 10% when going to DGA in 2023. The average was 0.4%. So very small improvement on the C1X putting. And that kind of just shows you at the end of the day, a putter is a putter when you're putting from inside of 30 feet. There's not much difference in how different putters fly.
Ooh, and I can't believe I didn't mention Cole when we were talking about DGA, but keep going.
Yeah. Oh, Cole. Yeah. Cole's on there too. Then we have Circle Two putting. So this went up 4%. So this was like a noticeable increase for players that moved from one manufacturer to the other. And maybe it was like a psychological one, Yuli, of where, hey, I can't putt that well with this, or I'm struggling with my putt. And what do? You change disc, you put in a new putter, and all of a sudden you start putting better. So 4% on average went up, with the Gooseman going to Discraft in 2023 increasing by 32%. Now, was that because of the new manufacturer? I would love to say yes, 100%. Discraft was 100%. I think there was a little bit too also with him just practicing a lot more circle two putting. I saw him spend a lot of time with that. So I think a little bit of, you know, a couple variables at play here. Let's look at major winners. Four major winners, Yuli, in that time span of 5 years, there were four major winners that went and won a major with their new manufacturer. You have James Conrad, obviously, winning in 2021 Worlds. You have Chris Dickerson winning the 2022 Championship Cup. And then you have Paul McBeth winning 2019 Worlds and the European Open. You've got Discraft actually winning three majors with people going to them. So, you know, Calvin, Ricky, some of you guys looking to win majors.
Almost AB last year.
Maybe pretty AB close. Needs to leave Discraft and then come back to Discraft to win one. But yeah, I thought that was very surprising to see that there was four major winners there. Obviously, Paul was on a different level in 2019, so he probably would have won if he went anywhere. But still, interesting stuff. We also had 15 Elite and NT winners and two Silver Series, with Paul at the top of that leaderboard winning seven of those in 2019. You also have Ricky Wysocki when he went to Dynamic winning four. You have Simon winning two when he went to MVP. All right, let's look at the not so good. Sometimes the negative outweighs the positive. 66% of players decreased in driving or putting stats. So driving accuracy and greens and regulation decrease. Scrambling. This to me, Yuli, seems like the no-brainer. When you're going to a new disc company, a new manufacturer, we all have those discs that we know exactly what they're going to do when we're in weird spots. I think it takes some time to find those discs, right? You have your special ones that you know, like, hey, I'm in a pickle. I can get out with this thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a huge one. I also think that you're spot on as far as the putting increasing, because as soon as you get a new putter, completely new feel, new manufacturer, you're going to put more time in on the putting green, which means you're going to increase your stats, probably.
That's a good point.
As far as like driving statistics, that doesn't surprise me either, because you're putting in more work when you go to the field. You're just working harder to get those new discs back into your bag. Scrambling, for sure, you get that on the nose with, you have those certain discs to where you know exactly where the turn is at what distance. And when you have new discs in your bag, like for instance, when I switched, I remember being in certain situations, even certain holes, to where memory would take me back to an old disc and I would be like, oh, that was my disc for this. Now what do I do? Type thing. So I think those statistics are telling a really good story right there.
Now we will go down to the next slide here, Silas. So like we did last week, we're going to do more of a visual kind of board on here, this quadrants where you've got driving and greens and regulation on the bottom. You've got putting on the left. And the big takeaways from here is you can see that 30% of players increased in both driving and putting. You got Paul McBeth when he went to Discraft in 2019. He almost increased his driving and green and regulation by 10%. He marginally increased his putting. And then you have someone like Cole Rodolin who increased his driving by about 5% and increased his putting by almost 10%. So all those people in that quadrant increased in both categories. Now, if we go into the bottom left, those are the players that decreased in both categories. This was 21% of the players decreased in both driving and putting, with the big notable names in there, Thomas Gilbert going to Thought Space. You've got Ricky going to Dynamic in 2022. You have, let's see who else you have in here. Yeah, those are probably the big names out of those. Yeah. And then the other thing that I want to take away from this too, that is interesting, is if you break the graph into halves. So if you look at the top and the bottom, the top is going to be people that increased their putting. The bottom is going to be people that didn't increase their putting. There are a lot of people up top. And then if you look left to right, where it's driving and greens and regulation, that kind of looks more uniformed, right? Where like some people increased and some people didn't. So they're talking to Edwin here, there wasn't like a massive takeaway of where he can say, oh, this is the trend that we are seeing. I think we probably need more data points and to kind of extend this out. But it was an interesting thing. We can go to the last slide here. This is the actual manufacturer side. So you can see Discmania, which obviously this was heavily influenced by Simon Lizotte going there. But Discmania had a huge increase when players went to Discmania. They had a huge increase on driving, accuracy, and greens and regulation, and a minor decrease in putting. Discraft, you had a little bit of an increase in driving, a little bit of an increase in putting as well. MVP was the Simon. Sorry, not Discmania. MVP was the signing. So you could see almost 5% with driving, 5% with the putting. And then some of the ones that struggled, Latitude 64, they decreased both in putting and in driving. And then Thought Space also decreased both in putting and in driving. So those are Edwin's stats of the week. Some interesting stuff there. He's going to get on the horn. He's going to run the numbers. He's going to crunch the data, and we'll have some new stats for you guys next week. If you guys enjoy Edwin's stats, like this video, drop a like. We haven't really said that in a while. And if you're listening and you haven't subscribed to the channel, definitely drop a subscribe there as well. And let Edwin know your thoughts and feelings towards the this week's stats in the comments down below. All right, this week in Foundation Disc Golf, the Heiser Club Championship tomorrow, folks. Tomorrow is your final day to be, I guess, qualified or get the invite for the Heiser Club Championship. If you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, it's a really fun tournament that we put on for a Heiser Club members. You come up here, we give a tour of the warehouse, we give it a tour of the studios where I'm sitting right now. We go out and we play a sick tournament. We actually are going to be playing New London, one of the courses that will be played at the World Championship. We have a sick trophy that we give out to the winner, and it's just a fun couple days of disc golf and hanging out with people that love disc golf, people that love this podcast, people that love Foundation. Really, really good time. So if you're interested in that, all you have to do is go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf, become an annual member. So it's only for annual members at the $10 or $20 level. But Hunter did want me to mention all annual levels, all members that have the annual membership will get the year disc. So if that's something that's of interest of you, go check it out. Foundation, patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. All right. Listener questions. We have a new setup here. Silas, intern David, they set up a forum now, Yuli. Because before I was like posting stuff on social media, and I realized like, yeah, I think I'll still do that every once in a while to grab some questions. But I think some people have like good questions throughout the week that like pop into your head. Oh, can you hit the size? Can you hit the AC unit? I think some people have like good questions throughout the week that like pop into their head. And I think it's probably hard for them to like wait for me to like tweet out, hey, what questions do you guys have? And then also this gives me the ability to like take some time and write it up. So if you guys want to ask me, Yuli, Silas, anyone questions, we will have the link for that in the description of this YouTube video. I would tell it to you, but it's literally like docs.google.com/whatever. And you know us over here at Foundation, we are not good with links. So first question here comes from Cody, and they want to know, Brody, at times in your pro disc golf career, you have seemed to be a loner in some ways, but last year you seemed to find a little more camaraderie with guys on tour, especially with the guys that you Airbnb with. Do you find yourself cheering for those guys if you're not in the mix? How do you find the balance of competitive edge and also friendships that naturally happen as you spend time with different competitors on tour? This is a fantastic question. 100%. I think it was me, Aaron, and Ezra that basically toured all last year together. Tristan Tanner is actually joining on. So it'll be us four touring. And 100%. Every tournament that, you know, me and Ezra, unfortunately, weren't really in the mix that much. Ezra probably more than me, obviously. I think he was in the mix a little bit at European Open and some other events. But Aaron, like, legitimately had a couple really good chances to win. And, you know, we would just basically wait in the parking lot, or we would watch the end and then wait in the parking lot for him kind of thing. So, yeah, 100%. Julian, you can kind of attest to this, where you've been on tour for way longer than I have. There's some people that you make legitimate friendships with, and then there's other people that, like, yeah, you're, you know, acquaintances. Like, you say hi and you go along your merry way. Like, is that kind of the same for you as well?
No, it is, for sure. I mean, my I'm in a little different position than you, being the captain of Discraft. So yep. I'm always trying to root for my team to do as good as they can. And obviously, how you separate those two things is, as soon as they call, you know, your tea time, I don't care about those people anymore. I care about myself, and I'm trying to win the tournament, and that's the way that it is. When it's done, I'm obviously rooting for them, because that's my job description. I'm going to do a good job doing that. I also have very close friends that I'm going to root for as well. Just because, like, that's just what happens. You become close with certain people, and then you root for them because you want success for your friends, just like anything. Yeah, I think you've hit it on the head. There's other people that, like, it's not like there's people that win and I'm like, oh, can't stand that guy. Can't believe he won. But there's also people that, like, you know, you have a little edginess with, and you would rather come out on top. And I definitely have a couple of those people start up in my UDisc app, to where
you're trying,
I'm not necessarily
them,
yep, rooting for them, but I'm definitely looking to where they finish and compared to myself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're not, like, trying to beat everyone out there, then you just don't have as much of a competitive, I mean, and it's getting more and more competitive now. I think you've probably seen this change over the years, of where before there was a little bit more of this, like, community element to it, of where we're all in this together. And that's going to change as more and more people aren't touring in vans and, like, sharing bathrooms and sharing groceries and all that stuff, right? The kumbayas, if you will slowly start fading away, and players are going to start flying in. Players are going to start staying in Airbnbs and hotel rooms. And there won't be this idea of, like, oh, we're like a traveling circus and we're all in this together. It will definitely be a little bit more cutthroat. And we've seen that already. I mean, I've seen that in the few years I've been on tour.
No, for sure. I mean, there's definitely something to be said about that, but I guess since I've been playing, there's always cliques. There's always people that you hang out with, little cliques here and there. That's just the nature of being a human being. You know, if we're flying into places, I'm sure I'm still going to be hanging out with my same people, you know, over the next few years or
I was
whatever.
Talking more like everyone kind of feeling, like, if everyone is touring in a van and everyone's staying at the same spot and everyone's going to the same.
Yeah, you kind of got to have that camaraderie.
You're kind of like a small village, basically, that travels around, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was just saying. That's starting to splinter a little bit, where people, like you're saying, the cliques that maybe were in there, but everyone was still, like, now you can kind of splinter yourself away from the group and kind of do your own thing in small little group. All right. Another question from Cody. This one's for you, Yuli. Congrats on the recent news of your wife being pregnant. How will being a new dad affect your tour schedule this year and maybe next year as well?
Well, I think one of the biggest things for me is our due dates right around the World Championships. Oof, and so that's the one that's really kind of popping off. Luckily, it's in Virginia. And that's only about 3.5 hours from here. So depending on where she is in the pregnancy, I'm probably going to do my best to play it. knowing that if something happens, I'll be able to just come straight away, drop everything and obviously be here for the birth of my child. As far as touring, like completely nothing changes really for me. You know, her and I have always had the deal to where whenever she wanted to come to any tournament, she comes. Whenever she's missing me, I'll fly her out that day or whatever that night. And that's kind of been an agreement that we've had the whole time, because it is tough traveling without your, you know, your spouse. So I don't think much is going to change. Obviously, once we, it is a good time when we're having the kid as well, because the off season is going to be pretty close after that. It's only like a month or two right after. And then I'll have some time to get acclimated to being a father and definitely helping out in those ways. What I've heard is staying up all night and doing that whole thing, which I'm very excited about. But at the end of the day, this is what I do for a living and I got to provide for my family. And so I'm definitely going to be touring for the next few years for sure. How that is going to happen, you know, that's a conversation for her and I, and we'll definitely figure out what's best for us. But what's best for us is obviously me making sure that I put food on the table. So,
yeah, true. If you do have questions, Yuli, about how like the sleeping situation, how to like maximize that, Silver Sage, my good buddy, he has two kids, both in the 99 percentile of sleepers. Like he has, there's like a camera, I guess you can buy now that basically tracks how they sleep and everything and then like charts it all out. And I mean, his boy sleeps like 12 hours. Like he, ooh, like just straight.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. So if you have questions, they have figured it out. And I'm definitely going to be using him as a resource 100% because, That is the play. That is the way to go. You go to sleep, they go to sleep. You wake up, they wake up. All right. Anonymous question here. Do you think that Macy got more or less than the offer that Dynamic Disc offered her with her new contract at DGA? If it was less or the same, is that a bad look on her? Would that look bad on her if that information got out? If it was less or the same, would that look bad on her if that... Okay, so they're asking... Okay. So I guess they're saying if... Let's just throw numbers out. Dynamic Disc offered her $10,000 to stay. She said no, made that post, and then signed with DGA that offered her $8,000. I guess they're asking like, if that happened, would that be a bad look? First off, I think DGA definitely probably offered her a better contract than Dynamic.
So right, I don't even I'm think with that's, you on that one.
Yeah,
and
I don't.
Because I don't of Edwin's statistics, answer. It doesn't matter because she's going to make that money back because everybody increases their statistics for the most part.
Yeah, I don't even think the second question, I don't truly understand the second question, but I don't even think it it applies here because I think DJ probably did offer her a better deal than Dynamic did. So
yeah, and then the last part of that was, does it make her look bad? No. Why would it make her look bad? She posted what she posted. She went to another company, and that's what she wanted to do.
James says, now that the next generation of Yuliberry has been announced, when can we expect a little Smith? So Kelsey initially wanted to do one more year out cheering for the Raiders. I don't think the re-signing of Antonio Pierce influenced her at all as the head coach. Maybe it did. Not sure. Maybe she thinks Aiden O'Connell is the future. Not sure. But she loves it. She loves it a lot. And so she wants to do one more year. So, oh, here we go. Manuel Yuliberry. Who's Manuel?
It's my uncle.
Oh, your uncle says, congratulations to you and Sarah, bud. You guys will make incredible parents. I hope to get back to see you soon. Good luck in 2024. We're all pulling for you in Arizona. Wow.
Oh, man.
Manuel, yeah, thanks, that's awesome. Heck yeah.
Yeah, thanks, uncle. Love you, buddy.
Love that. Family love in the chat. Love that. All right. Oh, so the answer. Sorry.
She's going to try out again, because every year you have to try out. She's going to try out again, and if she makes the team, I'm going to have another full season of watching the Raiders. Help me. And and then after that, we will start trying. All right, Jason. Tennis is partnering with pickleball at the Miami tournament by having pickleball matches on the side courts. Similar audiences and racket sports should stick together, as they are likely to create new players and fans of a similar style of sport, then attract someone that likes a contact sport. Is there a way to get disc sports to share resources and do something similar? Men's ultimate in the morning, women's ultimate in the afternoon, aligning with Disc Golf Pro Tour tee off times at a place near the Disc Golf Pro Tour course. Potentially there are some cross sport athletes. Interesting.
I like that idea. I do like that idea.
I could see them trying to make like a massive disc sport weekend of some sorts.
Yeah.
I don't know how big the crossover is, because there might be a lot of, is there a lot of pushback? Do you feel that at all from ultimate players towards disc golfers? I see a little bit of it.
I've never really felt that myself, honestly. Whenever I've talked to ultimate players who are like, let's say I'm doing field work and they're having a game or whatever, like, I've never felt any animosity. In fact, it's always been very cordial of people coming over and being like, oh, blah, 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 and asking questions or whatever. So I don't feel that.
Yeah, I think it might be more on like the professional side, the people. I don't know. I see some of it sometimes on social media, but again, a lot of stuff you see on social media is like the 1%, right? It's like the super out.
That's a good idea, though. That's great.
I don't mind it. Now, I have been in both organizations, the USA Ultimate and the PDGA. Do I think either one of those organizations would be able to come together and make something happen? Absolutely not. But could the AUDL, which is the Professional League and Ultimate, and the Disc Golf Pro Tour, could they come together and figure something out? That could potentially happen. And that could be cool. That could be very, very cool. All right, Randy's got a long one here. I'm talking with local players who play in events and tournaments. It was pointed out to me that UDisc is not a reliable source for checking for events. The availability of a course, sites like Disc Golf Scene and the PDGA's website are better. Do you two view that as an issue? I ask because UDisc is advertised everywhere for the course map and scorekeeping. Every course I've ever played at is advertised at the first tee or welcome sign. I think it's fair to say it's the first source of disc golf information a player comes across. If a new player only knows UDisc as a source and goes to a course to see if it's off limits to a tournament, that new player may be turned off from playing further if UDisc doesn't have that event listed on the app. I've been playing casually for the last 10 years and I'm aware of what sites to check, but it took me a while to figure that out. I guess my main question, can't we make this easier for the next wave of players? Let me know what you think. So I think he's asking, that was a long question, but I think he's asking, can UDisc like have something on there to where if you're going to go play a course, I thought they did have this on there, but maybe they don't, where you pull it up and it's like, oh, there's a tournament going on there. It's not playable today. I think that's the question he's asking, which I thought they already had.
Well, if they don't have that, that's silly, because it should definitely be on there. It should, if there's a pro tour or a tournament going on at a course and you click on the course, that would be a, if it's not on there, it should like, be on there to where it's like, hey, tournament.
Red banner, little tournament banner. Or course closed.
Yeah.
Something.
That'd be a great feature.
Yeah. I could have sworn I thought they had something like
that. But it is probably tough because there's so many tournaments going on every single weekend. I mean, so many.
Yeah, I'm not really quite sure how they can. Yeah, I don't know how you. Maybe you work out something with like the tournament director or someone that's setting it up on UDisc to be able to. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know the logistics of making that happen, but I can totally see how the frustration would be if you drove 20 minutes to go play a course and then you show up and it's like the course is closed. I mean, we've seen it all the time at people coming and trying to play courses, you know, that are closed for our tournaments. Yeah. And you know, some people don't take it that well. So
no.
All right, before we get into housekeeping, one last announcement. If you missed it as well, we've got another soon to be Connor Kennedy and his lovely wife Gabby are expecting as well. So all sorts of babies coming to Foundation. Yeah. We're going to almost be able to field a basketball team soon. So that will be cool. So shout out to them. Housekeeping, shout out to our new Tour Life crew members this week. Thank you guys for joining. Shout out to all the donations in chat as well. Appreciate you all. We had Grant with 9 months, Ronnie with 10 months. Appreciate all the Tour Life crew. Tim Jansen just joined. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate all the support, Tour Life crew. We really do. All right, here we go. Drum roll, Tour Life merch update. Silas, hit us with the numbers.
Come on, the numbers are in. You want me to give you Tour Life or Grip Locked first?
Grip Locked.
Give us Grip Locked. Give us Grip Locked numbers.
Grip Locked, 87.
Ooh. Okay. 13 away from 100 units sold. Wow. Okay.
Those are rookie numbers.
Ooh. Tour Life.
I'm just going to say it.
Tour Life, 96.
Okay. We got him by nine. We got him by nine this week. It is close. So definitely closer help us. Yeah, definitely closer than I like. Let's get to 100 before they do. So top pinned comment right now. You can check out all of our Tour Life merch over there. Support the show. We appreciate it so much. Or don't. Do whatever you want, really. But at least click the link and see what you have over. See what we got over there. See what kind of style we're swagging.
Minimum,
with.
Hit the subscribe button, please.
Definitely hit the subscribe button, 100%. And maybe the like button as well. We'll ask for some likes as well.
Drop a comment.
Yeah, we haven't been doing that much. All right, Spotify versus Apple. We've got Spotify at 927 reviews. Apple at 253. We are 73 reviews away on Spotify from hitting 1,000. I don't know what happens there. Do we get the 1K? Does it just say 1K? Because that would be swaggy. I know that was huge on Instagram. Once you got to 10,000, mm-hmm. You got the 10K. That was massive. Maybe it'll be the same for Spotify reviews as well. Tour Life needs a Yuli Horse coffee mug. Mark, couldn't agree with you more, brother. We will work on that. Silas, jot that down. I know we're going to have to pull Hunter's teeth to do it because he hates making Tour Life merch for us, but we're going to have to do it. All right, Debate Night auditions. Also, if you're interested in joining Debate Night, it is the podcast that we do during the season. Silas has the QR code right here that you can scan. We also have the link in the description that will take you to how to apply for that. We are looking for new people, some new blood. I'm going to be honest with you. If you listen to this show and you're like, man, Brody's kind of, ooh, man, that's, ugh. You're not gonna want to come on Debate Night. I will tear you apart. I will tear you apart. Do not do it. But if you hear me on here and you're like, Brody's an idiot, I'm so much smarter than him, then come on Debate Night. Those are the people that we want. Come on Debate Night and let's talk it out. And we'll see. So if you want to join that, click the link or the QR code that is on the screen.
Maybe I should come on Debate Night one of these times.
You should do an episode. I think you would like it a lot. It is fun, man. It is because it's quick.
I like debating.
It's quick. You only have a few, like a minute or so to get your point across. We'll see. I'm sure this season too, there was a lot of kind of controversy on timing and point deductions and all that.
Oh, so it's getting strict.
Yeah,
it's
strict. I'm sure Trevor's going to show up with a whole new list of things of rules, but yeah, you should pop on. It'll be fun. It'll be good times. And yeah, I definitely enjoy it. Now I will say, don't come on if I'm standing. I'm undefeated. I have never lost when I'm standing. I've never lost. All right, boys, did we miss anything? Silas, Yuli, did we miss anything?
No.
Everyone in chat, Tour Life crew, everyone happy. All of our listeners happy. We appreciate you. We're getting so close to the season starting. January is over. We're done. We're moving into February. Only a few more weeks before you'll see all of our lovely faces down in Florida throwing frisbees. It'll be a good time. But other than that, again, congratulations to Yuli. Shoot him. He has a lovely, lovely post over on Instagram. Go over if you're not following him already on Instagram. Go follow him on Instagram. Leave a nice little comment on their Instagram for them. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.